Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our weekly Sunrise Project call, where it's always a safe space filled with love and compassion and our desire to heal ourselves and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am super delighted this morning to have with us an incredible licensed psychotherapist, mentor, author, speaker, and global advocate named Brother Ajuma Mohammed. Brother Ajuma holds a master's degree in education and carries multiple certifications, including LPC, BCPC, IATT, DBT, and EMDR qualifications. His life's work has been rooted in healing, guidance, and transformation. With almost 30 years in private practice, his focus is trauma, identity, and the development of young Black men. Brother Ajuma is the founder of the Association of African American Role Models, a young mentorship program for young men ages 9 to 19 in underserved communities. Championing the fundamental principles of discipline, reflection, and intentional living, his message remains, and I quote, "Mental health is not optional, it's foundational," and I end quote. And I am so delighted to have you here with us this morning, Brother Ajuma. Welcome. Welcome to Sunrise Sunday.
I want to say thank you. I want to say Bismillah Rahman Rahim, giving open praises and honor to Almighty God, Allah. I pray that he bless my tongue in the few moments that we do have, that hopefully I can say something that will inspire and motivate others. Also encourage them to take their temperature as it relates to mental health. Mental yeah. health is real. Mental health matters. Black fathers matter. Black men matter. So this is a very, very critical time for us that we need to definitely remain vigilant and watchful as it relates to our mental health.
I love that. Thank you so much for saying that. How did you become so passionate about working in, specifically with Black males and also in this mental health space?
I think that's a great question. I grew up in a single parent household, and I grew up without a father. I was raised by my mother. My biological father chose to leave my mom when I was about 4 weeks of age. So I struggle with serious abandonment issues. And I see that that's one of the biggest problems in America as far as African-Americans. 70% of the families are being headed by a single parent, which happens to be the mother. So growing up with that sense of shame and abandonment and not quite understanding fully the different dynamics around me. And again, seeing a lot of young men who I grew up with making very poor decisions resulting in early death or even incarceration, I wanted to be different. And so I saw that mental health was relevant, it was real, it was critical, because most of us didn't really understand our progeny or our plight in life. And also, too, you know, I had a high school counselor who was a very positive Black male figure for me, too, that really inspired and motivated me as well. So that started the trajectory in terms of mental health. And I love it. I'm passionate about it. I've been doing it for over 30 years. God has blessed me to touch the lives of over 100,000 youth in my 30-year career. Wow. So it was just so many things that I could say, but I don't want to be long-winded. I want to just kind of answer your question so we can kind of move along.
But you can be long-winded. You can be long-winded. That's we're here to hear about your story, your journey, and how you've helped people. And I think it's incredible, 100,000 people that you have touched, lives impacted and transformed.
Let me just say this. You know, I didn't want to be a victim. I did not want to be a victim growing up in a single-parent house. So I knew that I had to change the plight and change the narrative. And so I took pride in being a role model. A lot of men run from that responsibility, but I took pride in being a role model. Like I said, by the grace of God, I've been able to touch over 100,000 lives, started the African-American Role Model Program, where we work with males and females, although the emphasis was on Black boys. You know, a lot of times when we talk about the absent father, we forget the impact, the adverse impact that it have on girls as well. So when
That's
girls
right.
don't, girl, when young girls grow up in a home and they don't see a positive male figure, they don't know what kind of mate to choose
That's
once they
right.
grow into adulthood. So it has a really serious adverse effect that we need to understand. And those are some of the things I want to talk about
Yeah.
the program today.
Let's talk about that. Like, what are some of the things? And I appreciate you saying that you also work with girls. The genesis of Sunrise was about young Black men, but there are many, many, many parents here who have girls, and we see similar issues. So, what are some of those adverse experiences, or some of the common yet unseen emotional wounds that you see our young people carrying?
Well, I want to just read a couple brief statistics real quick.
Please.
Homicide is the leading cause of death for Black males between 15 and 25 years of age. There's a 90% chance that a Black male will be murdered or killed by another Black male during his or her lifetime. That's serious. That's a very, very serious statistic. There is over 2.5 million prisoners, which 70% of them happen to be Black males. So we're talking
Right.
about young men in the prime of their life that are physically incarcerated. And we also need to talk about how the prison system benefits from those who labor in the prison system. That's a whole nother topic in itself. We're talking about 70% of Black families being headed by a female. One thing I've come to learn in my 30 years of being in clinical practice that a woman cannot raise a boy to be a man. She can love him, she can provide for him, she can do all those kind of things. And the way I make women understand is that if I had a daughter, I could provide for my young daughter, but I can't teach her how to be a woman. She has to be
That's
taught by
right.
another woman because there are a lot of intrinsic things that women teach young girls. There are a lot of intrinsic things that men teach boys.
Yes.
In the city where I live, 28% of the Black males who graduate from there is only a 28% of Black boys who graduate from the St. Louis public schools where I currently reside.
So that's
80% of
under, did you say 28%
22,
graduation rate?
28% out of 100% is less than a third. Okay,
Right.
we're talking about 80% of the Black males entering prison didn't have a father in the home. This is how serious it is. These are the kind of things that we should be shouting from the mountaintop. We should be
Yes.
shouting from the pews in the churches, in the civic organizations. We're talking about, and I'll leave you with this one here. I used to hear this statistic for years, and it was very alarming. It was very damning, very concerning. One in four Black males are going to be tied or impacted, adversely impacted by probation, parole, the prison system, and ultimately death. We're talking about one in four. So if you count four people, one,
95
two, three,
percent.
four, that is a very serious statistic. And let me share something else with you. You have to cut me off because
No,
I'll just kind of
please.
go like a machine. Ideally, children definitely should have two parents in the home, although many times they don't. So as a clinician, I work with a lot of foster kids. So I work with foster kids whose mother may be deceased, may be incarcerated, may be on drugs, may be on the street prostitutes. Okay. Oftentimes in the court system, in the clinical world, we don't even know who the father is. So you're talking about two people who had sex, who brought this young person into the world. They're no longer there. For whatever reason, they're
Right.
not there. So you're talking about a child who grows up in the foster care system. And I've had many clients and kids that I've worked with that have been to as many as 10, 15, and 20 foster homes. Okay. So finding the ideal match for a kid in a foster home is not easy. Sometimes they're sexually violated, they're molested, they're abused, even in foster home places where they are supposed to go for a safe
Be
space.
safe.
And so how can you have a sense of trust with anybody if you've been to 20
Right.
different foster homes and the two people who brought you in the world for whatever reason, they're not there. So those are some of the psychological traumas that I deal with every day in my clinical practice. We're talking about children who are emotionally wounded, who are psychologically scarred and struggle with a sense of abandonment because neither one of their parents are there. So those are some very serious
Those
statistics.
are very serious statistics and a little bit depressing, quite frankly. You know,
Oh,
having
yeah.
being the mother of two Black young men, the statistics are scary and traumatic. And I want to ask you on the last thing that you just said, you know, there's this trauma that's so often unhealed. You mentioned with foster children and other children, that may have even had both parents in the home. There's unhealed trauma. How does that manifest itself from when a teen, up until a, young adult male?
It manifests itself in so many different ways. You're talking about behavioral outbursts, behavioral problems that escalate at school. You have young people who challenge authority figures, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a principal, whether it be law enforcement. We have children who are very,
A parent, even a probably a parent.
absolutely, who are very aggressive towards their parents as well. So it manifests itself in social deviancy in so many different ways, where we have lawlessness on the street, kids breaking their cars, robbing folks, no respect for adults. So there is a it's a lingering catastrophic effect. And this is why mental health matters. This is why having positive Black male role models in the school, in the churches, it matters. This is really a call to action. It really is. One of the things that I've done, Kelly, and I know we'll get to it in the program, is that whenever I'm blessed to go speak at a school or church or organization or wherever it is that I may speak at, a lot of times young people, their attention span is very, very sharp. We know that because they're on these video games all day and they're on the telephone all day. So the dopamine that comes from being on video games and on the telephone all the time, it's their attention span is real short. I developed a poster. It's called 10 Strategies for Empowering Black Boys. At some point, I'd definitely like to maybe just speak to it because I'm really about solutions. I spend this whole hour just talking about problems after problems after problems, and the problems are extensive. But what are the solutions? And
Let's talk
before,
about that. Yes, please.
well, let me share just a couple things. And at some point, I'd love to feature this on the website or on this
Absolutely.
program. It's called 10 Strategies for Empowering Black Boys. And think about what I'm
Okay.
saying. Black boys should develop and maintain a healthy relationship with God. Okay, there was an option that once upon a time, we didn't have an option not to go to church or not to
That's
go to the
right.
mosque. Now we give children so many options, and we see the catastrophic effect of that. Number two, Black boys should honor and always respect their parents. Not sometimes, but always. Okay. Number three, Black boys should embody greatness in everything that they do. We come from a rich history of greatness where we built pyramids, we did incredible kinds of things. And most of our young people don't have a clue. They're clueless. Number four,
Right.
Black boys should take pride in their history and their culture. We just spoke to that. Five, Black boys should empower their community through leadership and service. That's really what it's all about. It's not about getting the bag and then leaving the community and telling
Right.
everybody they need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It's about empowering others. To me, that's where you get the greatest gifts from God. This is how God
Yes.
blesses you when you give to others and you do it
That's right.
unconditionally. Another one is Black boys should honor, respect, and protect the Black woman. I'm going to say it again. Black
I
boys
was
should
about to say it
honor, protect, and respect the Black woman. The Black woman is the mother of the earth. She is the queen nectar. All other women attempt to imitate her, but she there's no imitation when it comes to Black women. We're the most beautiful, and I'm prejudiced, I'm personal, most beautiful women on the face of the earth, but they should be protected, And just two more, Black boys should work to establish an economic foundation in their communities. That's so important because we have other ethnic groups that come into our community and they take and they rob and they steal the resources, the foundation of our community. And so often Black communities look like war zones now, So, that's a serious problem. Two more. Black boys should travel internationally, better understand their place in the world. Everywhere I go in the world, I see people that look just like you and I. They might speak Spanish, they might speak Portuguese if they're in Brazil, but we're everywhere. We're in Central America, we're in South America, we're in Australia, we're all throughout Africa, and we're even in Europe. And then number 10, Black boys should love themselves because you can't give to others if you don't feel good about yourself. So this is a poster that I've given to others. It's my gift. Because oftentimes, if I go somewhere and lecture, and then you ask the young person, what did you learn? I don't know. I don't know. There's so much information. So this post is crystallized with these fine-tuned points that they hang
Yes.
in their bedrooms. And I encourage parents to have conversation. Let this post be a conversation piece. Tell me about your history. Tell me about your culture. You know?
Yes.
So.
And so many people don't know. So many of our children don't know. And I got nine of them. I probably missed one, but I put them in the chat. And is this something, these tools, these 10 steps, as you call
The,
them,
yeah,
strategies.
these are strategies for empowering Black boys, but I also have a strategy list that I put together for Black fathers. Okay, and I just want to say that
Yes.
these principles are applicable to girls and women.
Yes.
My focus just happened to be on Black boys, Black men and boys, but I'll go through them real quick. And we're talking
Okay.
about Black fathers. Because Black fathers are the foundation. Okay? Black fathers should develop and maintain a healthy relationship with God and demonstrate this through acts of service and empowerment to others. How do you say you believe in the Lord? How do you say you believe in Jesus or Allah, but it's not manifested? Love is an action word. We should be all about empowering and empowerment. That's number one. Two, Black fathers should spend quality time with their children. When I
Yeah.
run into men in the community and they have incredible titles. That's good and great. But I want to know how much time do you spend with your children? That's really the bottom line.
Right,
Okay.
right.
Three, black fathers should be the primary role model in the lives of their children. If somebody come and ask my son or daughter who is their role model, and they say, I won't even throw any names out there other than mama and daddy who provide for them on a daily basis, I'm going to feel some kind of way. And so
Yes.
we should be the primary role models. Okay, fourth, Black fathers should teach life lessons by sharing information, providing education, and demonstrating exemplary character in the lives of their children. We should lead by
Yes.
example. These are very powerful points. And every male is not a man, and it's a huge distinction.
Yeah.
A male carries a penis. But it doesn't mean that he's responsible in terms of maturity and manhood. And so these 10 strategies that I put together on this poster, it's a blueprint for manhood. Just like with
I
the
love
boys,
it.
it's a blueprint for boyhood. Okay. I'll go through a few more. Black fathers should teach their children to be responsible and accountable through self-discipline and consistency in all their endeavors. Six, Black fathers should teach their children to be independent, entrepreneurial. Okay, and self-sufficient, particularly as it relates to the value of saving money. Seven, Black fathers should teach their children the value in volunteering without pay and helping others who are less fortunate than themselves. There was a time,
Yes.
Kelly, when I grew up, if an adult asked me to do something, it was automatic. You just did it without thinking. Nowadays, if you ask young people to do something, their first reaction is, how much am I going to get
Was about to say that.
How much am I going to get paid? Okay.
That's
So,
right.
we've created these little monsters. So it's imperative that we take inventory of ourselves and our parenting. I didn't get a chance to say this, but one of the biggest challenges I see in the clinical counseling world is parental enablement. Okay. I'm going to say that again, parental enablement. So what do I mean by that?
Yes.
We parents, because so many homes are being headed by a single parent, there's no accountability on the part of the boys. The boys get away with murder, and the girls have to be accountable. So now we have these 20-some-year-old boys that when the mother go to the gas station, the mother's pumping the gas, and the boy, 14, 15-year-old, is sitting on the other side of the car seat playing a video game. Okay? So
Something's wrong with that picture.
something is seriously wrong with that picture. So we want to empower our boys. Women say we want stronger men. We want better men. It starts in the home. It starts in the
Yeah.
home and it spreads abroad. If you enable that child and you give them everything, then when it comes time for them to transition into adulthood or manhood, then they're not gonna be ready. They're just not gonna be ready.
Right.
Two more real quick.
Right.
Number nine, Black fathers should expose their children to the value and the beauty of traveling both nationally and internationally so that their children better understand their place in the world. And number 10, Black fathers should love themselves. When you love yourself, that energy it emanates from within. Your wife is happy, your girlfriend is happy, your family is happy. We got to go back to getting married to stop thinking that it's okay to be a single parent. It's not okay. And I understand things happen, life get in the way, but we have to kind of revisit the process that we take when it comes to getting married, starting a family, developing a family. I strongly believe that everybody should get marital counseling. Don't just jump up and do it because she's cute or he's fine or he's handsome. You know, do you know the other person's mental state? Do you know the other person's financial state? What are their spiritual views? What are their views on childbearing? There's so many things that need to be considered before you say, I do. Once you say, I do, it gets
That's right.
really complicated. So
Yes,
the
it
word to
does.
the wise is sufficient.
That's right. Those are incredible strategies. And like you said, therefore, you develop them for Black boys and young men, but they're really applicable for girls. And the ones for Black fathers, I was just high-fiving over here to everything you said, because the behavior has to be modeled. The modeling can't go outside and wash your car, but leave your wife's car dirty. It's like those certain things
Absolutely,
just
absolutely.
don't make any sense. And so how do we as parents, most of us are on this call because we're parents and we might be struggling, with some behavioral challenges, and addiction challenges. Maybe there is a father in the home, maybe there isn't. What can we do as parents in terms of actions to try to correct some of the behavior if that enablement has happened? The learned helplessness has happened, and the young person's in their early 20s or late 20s, whatever. How can we start to correct some of those things? How do
I
we
think
do that, particularly as moms, because many of us on this call are mothers.
it starts with the knowledge of self. And the knowledge of self is very, very important. You know, Malcolm X used to always say that education is the passport to the future, but tomorrow belongs to the people who prepare for it today. And the bigger question is, well, what kind of education? You know, I find that people may go to school and they get all kinds of degrees, but they don't know anything about their history and their culture. We can't forget, and we have to remember that our culture was stolen from us. It was taken from us. It was rewritten. And it was taught in such a way to make us emotionally, socially, and psychologically hate ourselves. I'll share something with you, Ms. Kelly. This is real deep. The five most powerful images in America, now I'm talking psychologically. The number one image was the image of George Washington, who they said was the father of this country. Well, George Washington fathered over 22 illegitimate Black children because Martha couldn't have children. So he went out there and he raped our ancestors, who we commonly refer to as slaves. Okay, and he's considered the father of the country. His face is also on the money that we use here in America. That's number one. Number two is the image of Abraham Lincoln, who didn't free the slaves. He fired the slaves because the abolishment of slavery was based on economics, not because he was a morally good man and he felt like slavery was wrong. That's number two. Number three was the image of Christopher Columbus, who discovered America with all these people living here. Something is seriously wrong with that picture. It's like if I come knock on your door after this podcast and I say, "Hey, Miss Kelly, I discovered you," and you're gonna say, "Brother Jimmer, what have you been smoking? Something is seriously wrong with you." Well, it was Native Americans who were already living here. So how did you discover this place? But this is how they write the history. Okay, and the other image is the image of the white Santa Claus who supposedly give you toys on the 25th of December. I'm gonna feel some kind of way. If I worked all year to provide my children toys and you give the credit to some white man. And then the fifth most powerful image in America is the image of the white Jesus, which you will find in many Black churches throughout America. So when you have been racially, socially, and psychologically trained to hate yourself, it's easy for you to go out and harm another Black person that just looks like you. When you talk about the disparity in the legal system, and white people commit crimes versus when Black people commit crimes, it's a completely different contrast. So there are
Yes.
social and psychological forces that are designed to destroy us each and every day. One thing I didn't talk about is one in six black men are going to develop prostate cancer. One in eight black women are going to develop breast cancer. We forget the social and psychological forces in America that every day we have to live with this impending doom psychologically that weighs in on us, which is one of the reasons why black men have the highest rate of prostate cancer. So to answer your question, we got to learn how to love ourselves. We got to
Yes.
learn how to re-educate ourselves. We're going to have to learn how to take out the junk that has been fed to us that made us socially and psychologically hate ourselves. And it starts in the home. If we wait for the school to teach our children, we're in trouble. You have to remember the
Right.
same people who won't treat you right, definitely not going to teach you right. And so, again, that's why, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and some of those other groups, you look at members of the Nation of Islam, they're strong, they're proud, they're dignified. Why? Because they understand history and culture. If you understand the evolution of Malcolm X, who only went to the eighth grade but died one of the most respected men on the planet. When he was incarcerated, he read every book in the library. He learned every word in the dictionary. He was inspired and motivated. And so I want to definitely leave the audience with this, and this is very important, that one man can make a difference. One woman can make a difference. Always remember this. It's not where you start, but it's where you finish. It's not where you start, but it's where you finish. Why do I say that? Because, Kelly, I've seen children come from two-parent homes, and they end up being the biggest losers in life. And I've seen children come from foster homes, come from the worst situation, but they end up being the brightest stars. So that's one of the messages I want people to definitely take with them is that one man, one woman can make all the difference in the world. But you have to believe in yourself. You have to love yourself. And that energy is going to radiate and it's going to emanate from you. And it's going to have the capacity to inspire others. Very
I
important.
love that. I love that. I love that you said one man, one woman can make a difference, starting with ourselves, really, starting with loving ourselves. And I think it's also learning how to reprogram. You talked about learning,
Absolutely.
relearning our history, relearning our culture, and reprogramming how we communicate with our children, right? Like sometimes we don't, at least in, a lot of us are come from traditional upbringings where, you do as I say, period. And that doesn't work all the time. So can you
Well,
talk about that?
one of the ways to deprogram is to take the video games from my children. And I know, that's almost a declaration of war in this day and age.
Correct.
But I've been to different countries throughout the world where kids are not self-absorbed and on video games from sun up to sundown. ADHD and ADD. When I say ADD, I mean attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is commonplace here in America. I've been in other countries where I've seen children literally focus for 8 to 10 hours without a video game, without medication and all of that. I had the privilege and honor and opportunity to speak at Ghana. I go to Ghana almost every year, and I've been to Ghana probably the last 7, 8 years in a row. And at some point, if you remind me, I'll talk about the school and some of the work that I'm doing overseas. But I'll never forget, I spoke to 2,500 students. And normally when I'm in America, I'll speak in an auditorium, a gymnasium, a conference room, and children are just all over the place. But in Ghana, I was asked to speak, spoke to 2,500 students. It was literally 85, 90 degrees outside. Do you know those students sat still for literally 8 hours? I saw not a single fight. I didn't see any nurse having to administer medication. I didn't see any student that had to be redirected, any of that. So I asked one of the program facilitators afterwards, I say, how do you all deal with ADD kids, attention deficit disorder? They said, they didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, how do you deal with ODD, oppositional defiance disorder kids? They didn't know because it's not a part of the culture. Because in American culture, violence is celebrated. I hate to say it, it's celebrated. Any parent who takes the time to look at some of the video games that our children or self-absorbed in each and every day. You're talking about Call of Duty, you're talking about Grand Theft Auto, you're talking about games. The oxymoron in all of this is called the killing game. If you ask any child who participate, played on video games, they'll tell you the object is to kill, kill, kill. And they've made the game so appealing, the games are seductive in such a way that they just absolutely capture your attention. And our children are on those games all the time. So just think about it. You're being programmed to kill, and you take delight in it. And they put music, they put some of the most popular stars or rappers in there. So that right there, it really messed up your head. So in terms of reprogramming, we got to take the video away. We got to take the, and it doesn't have to be taken away completely, because I know in this day and age, you take a kid phone away, then that's a fight, and that's just,
Right.
but we
That's
have to understand.
their lifeline, their phone. You know, that's like a fish being taken out of
Right.
out of water.
But
You
what
know,
happened
they're
to what?
gasping.
Well, what happened to them learning how to read a book? Many of our children have literacy issues. They cannot complete a sentence. They can't write a complete sentence without multiple errors. They can't even speak in a complete sentence. So we're doing, Minister Farrakhan talk used to talk about the dumbing down of America. We're there now. We are there
Right.
now where kids
Yes.
can't spell, they can't read, they can't write, and they're comfortable in their
Yes.
own ignorance. So how will they positively impact the workforce in the world that we live in? They won't. They will become
Right.
commodities for the penal system. I want to say something about the penal system too. I looked it up before we got online, and I could not believe where today's prison systems are now. You can buy stock in prisons now. They have private prisons. Prison labor produces a wide variety of goods ranging from everyday food items and military apparel to office furniture and cleaning supplies. I never knew that. I didn't know they were doing that in the prisons. While much of the work stays within the prison systems or supply government agencies, many goods quietly enter the supply chain of major corporations. They are doing food and agriculture. Inmates harvest, process, and package everyday groceries. Incarcerated workers have involved in producing beef, soybean, dairy, cereal grains, packaged foods distributed by major brands found in supermarkets like Walmart and Target.
It's
What
awful.
are we preparing our children for? To be slaves in this penal system where
Right.
they make 70 to 80 cents a day. And these large corporations like McDonald's, they're not just making license plates anymore. They're making hamburger buns. They're doing everything that major companies are doing right now. They're getting free labor.
Right.
So that's
And
what we're
same as
dealing
it
with.
was 400 years ago. I want to make sure, first of all, you said to remind you to talk about the work that you were doing overseas with the students. What type of work is that? What kind of presentations are you doing? Because you asked me to remind you about that. And then I want to make sure we open up the floor for anybody that might have a question for
Oh,
you, because you
absolutely.
are such
Absolutely.
a wise soul. So I want to make sure we open up the floor
Thank
as well.
you.
But first, please share more about the type of work you're doing overseas.
Absolutely. So, I previously stated one man can make a difference, one woman can make a
Yes.
difference. And you indicated earlier before we started the show, there's a phrase or saying that you say to people in your closeout. Well, I have a phrase and saying that I say to people often as well. And mine is, the leader that you're looking for is inside of you. The leader
Yes.
that you're looking for is inside of you. You need not look any further. And so God has blessed me to travel the world and go to many, many different countries. So
Yes.
I adopted over 3,000 students in Ghana, West Africa. Since being involved, we built a container wall, we purchased air conditioners, we started a pen pal program for the students in Ghana. With the hopes that they would connect with the students in America and we could develop an exchange program. We also purchased over 100 bicycles because many of the students live a good distance from the school. And we purchased over 100 computers along with internet routers, along with sewing machines as well. So that's some of the work that I'm doing in Ghana. And there's a brother I mentioned to you that mentored me and inspired me. His name
Yeah.
is Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad. He recently passed away about a month and a half ago. And he would always teach and tell us that it is imperative to go and visit a place once rather than read about it in the book a thousand times. You can read it a thousand times, but never truly gain the intimate connection that one would have if you go. And so that's just very, very important.
I'm first of all, so many things to say about that, but that's just I applaud you for 3,000 students that you've adopted, and then all that incredible work in Ghana and here in the United States, all the incredible work and the hundreds of thousands of lives you've impacted. And second, I want to say sorry for your loss because you mentioned him earlier, and how big of a mentor he was for you. So I'm really just want to say condolences for your loss. So thank you for sharing that. How can I want to open up the floor? So if you have a question for Brother Ajuma this morning, please feel free. Yes, there is a hand up from Dr. D. Go ahead, Dr. D.
Good morning. I have no question, but I do find it necessary to applaud Ajuma. I reached out to actually a member of this community for support for my son. Everyone here in this community already knows about my son and why I am here, outside of my role as executive director. And she put me in contact with Ajuma, and he jumped in. Absolutely, immediately with two hands, two feet, all the things. So, while on paper he sounds amazing, in person he's even better. He showed up at my son's school, he showed up at meetings with his teachers, he showed up at his apartment, he took him to swim practice, he had meals with him. He is the epitome of meeting someone where they are mentally and physically. And so I first want to thank Ajuma. He also came to my son's college graduation. He just graduated a few weeks ago, and Ajuma did that. And so everything that he's saying, he absolutely does it. He does it with a pure, kind heart. He does it with intention. And he does it with force. He does it with all the things that's needed. So I want to give you your flowers. And I love being able to share him with this community. So thank you to both Kelly and Vicky, Dr. Vicky, for trusting me enough to bring him to this space.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. D, I want to say to you, thank you for the opportunity. I look at every child as a wonderful possibility, because you just never know. And this is interesting, what I'm getting ready to say. Some of the young people who I thought would not make it in life or would have a very difficult time making it in life, they turned out to be the brightest stars. And then some of the ones who I was assured that they would do well in life, and they turned out to be the biggest loser, or something happened that resulted in their untimely demise. You just never know. So I see greatness in all possibility. I see greatness in all people. And it's also refreshing when our people are in need and they can see somebody look like them.
Yes,
That is
that part.
absolutely affirming and refreshing. And there's just a sense of connection. So, I thank Dr. D for the opportunity to serve. I told her that her son was like my son because, we have to look out for each other like that. We just do. And, I sincerely believe in paying it forward. When you pay it forward, God bless me to become older, sickly, have mobility issues. I pray that, because I did pay it forward, that I'll have the same consideration on the back end. So,
Absolutely. I
I'm
love
just
that.
I'm just really, really passionate about impacting the lives of others. We all have an expiration date, and I want my legacy to live on, and that's really what it's all about. There's not much is
Absolutely.
given, much is required, much
Much
is
is
expected,
required.
and I'm no ways tired. The best is yet to come. You gotta have me come back. There's so many things that I
Yes, we have to
never had
talk.
it.
We have to.
Never got an opportunity to really speak on. I know time is going to get away real quick.
We
I
will
want
have
to
you come
definitely
back.
leave a number too for people if they want to reach out to me. They can call me
Yes.
directly. They can text me. Should I give it now? give it later.
You can give it now. And I was about to ask if you do virtual consultations or do you have,
Oh, absolutely.
because I know
Absolutely.
there are a lot of people that are looking for someone exactly like you to work
Absolutely.
with their children. So, yes, please give the number and I'll put it in our chat as well.
So, brothers and sisters, if you're looking for counseling or coaching or whatever your issue or need may be, you can reach me at 314-249-1061. Again, that's 314-249-1061. You can also find me on Facebook, some of my travels. I post a lot of pictures and videos so people can see I'm not just talking, that, what I say, I really am about that. And I give praise and honor to Almighty God. I come from a rich legacy of just great leaders, the great Marcus Garvey, Minister Louis Farrakhan,
Yes.
Anthony Shaheed in St. Louis, Missouri, just so many others. So, these men have provided a very solid example for me, and I'm just no ways tired. And I want to contribute in my own kind of way by making a difference. And we have to be global in our thinking, not just local, but global, because the world awaits us. It really does.
I love that. I have a thousand questions, but I want to open up the floor because we have a few more minutes. Does anyone else have a question for Brother Ajuma? I put the phone number in the chat as well. And also, can you share your Facebook page with
Yes.
us? What is that?
Yes, thank you for asking. You can if you go to the name Ajuma, and it's spelled A J U M A. Again, that's A J U M A. Last name is Muhammad, MU HA MMAD. You'll find me. I do respond back. And if there's any way that I can support could help you. And I want to say this too, Kelly, this is very important. Sometimes we as a people believe that we have arrived because we moved to the suburb and we're able to make six-figure incomes. And I want to say no one is exempt. Your son may get stopped on any given day, racially profiled, and meet his or her untimely death. And so we have to me, extend ourselves to others because we never know when in our hour of need that we may need someone to fight on our behalf or advocate on our behalf. So we have to remember too, we're stronger together than we are apart.
That's
And
right.
it's just critical that we open our mind up to these possibilities because we never know. Living
Right.
in America, we just don't know what's going to happen from day to day. We got a crazy man in the White House. That's a whole nother story. We don't have time to deal with that craziness. But when you think
And
about
we're gonna
living up
leave that
under,
right there. We're gonna leave that right there, but keep going, please.
when you think about living up under that kind of stress and duress and all the civil rights and rights that we fought for, we see them slowly being peeled back, knowing that
That's
over
right.
300,000 black women have lost their jobs under this administration. So we have a lot of social forces that are working directly to destroy us every day. So we can't afford to put our heads in the sand because we have an
Exactly.
education or we have this station or position in life.
And we think we've made it, and our children are suffering. I noticed that Jules had her hand up. I'm not sure if she's still here or if she had to drop, but I did
Now,
see. Oh, good
actually,
morning.
good morning. Good morning. I'm actually here. I didn't have a question, but I wanted to say thank you so much for all the things that you've been saying, Ajuma. And I just wanted to co-sign. As recently, I think it was last week or the week before, the New York Times did a really big article on the fact that literacy rates really are lowering. So all of the facts that he's been talking about that, it's really a major problem. And of course, our community is being hit the worst. The facts that he's talking about and the truth about the impact of the electronic devices and social media, a lot of the dumbing down, if you will, of America really started around the 2015 times when all of the burst of all the social media, et cetera. And I see it on a regular basis because as I'm an educator, and I can't just talk about any more the negative impact it's having on our children's ability to learn and the parts that were elevated about their the loss of reading and the loss of doing outside activities. And so I just wanted to put that in the space because the more than those games and all of those other things that parents are giving kids, it is so much worth it to spend the quality time taking the kids out, traveling with them to show them the different parts of things that are happening. I mean, things like, can you just read the placard so you can understand what exactly the history that's been happening around here that you're just not being aware, or even bringing our kids to maybe, I'm in the DMV area, like the Sandy Springs Slave Museum, just really spending time and effort with our children and our grandchildren and on learning the history, because we are really in big trouble and that prison pipeline is no joke. So I just wanted to co-sign and thank you so much for bringing that, Ajuma, into the space and elevating this conversation today. You have such great guests, Kelly, so I thank you so much.
Kelly, can I
Yes.
respond to that real quick?
Please, yes. I was just coming off of mute because my phone was ringing. Please go right ahead.
I salute all the educators and teachers out there. You all have a monumental task, a monumental job. People don't know. So you go in those classrooms and deal with all the different personalities and learning and behavioral challenges, you really don't have a clue. You really don't. That's number one. Number two, it is really interesting that when I go overseas, I see African kids, Asian kids, really African kids that speak five or six different languages. Their intellectual capital is just off the charts. And then in America, we have students that can barely speak English. You know, they can't write, they can't read. And to go with what the educator just said, should write this down. This is a very, very important concept, and I don't think we'll have time to really deeply get into it, but I just want to just kind of tease you with it. It's called the Pygmalion effect. And Pygmalion is spelled Pygmalion effect. The Pygmalion effect. I'm going to spell it one more time. Pygmalion. And I'm going to read the definition real quick and then I'm going to talk about it. It's a psychological phenomenon where high expectations lead to improved performance, while low expectations lead to worse performance. So they did a study of these really smart kids, but they made them think that they were slow and they were dumb. So the end result of their learning capacity was very minimal and small. And then they took kids who were considered having behavioral problems and slow and couldn't read, but they had really high expectations for them. And so, as a result of them having high expectations, the productivity and production of their learning increased tenfold. Why? Because they had a different expectation. People have a low expectation of Black children, therefore, the end result is very little learning. They have a high expectation for white children and others, and therefore, the outcome, the end result is much different. So, I would
And
encourage
you're
people
saying
to.
this is happening in the education system in general. Is that what is this Pygmalion effect?
Absolutely, absolutely. It takes place every day. If we think that Black children can't read and can't learn, then we're going to operate from that premise. But if we believe that they're smart, they're intelligent, they can do, they can achieve, then our energy, our efforts are going to coincide with that, which is going
That's
to
right.
produce a better product on the back end. But again, I don't
Right.
want to put everything on teachers and educators. It really starts at home. Parents, if you're
It
listening,
starts at home.
turn that doggone video game off. Turn that telephone, take it away from them. You can give it back to them. You don't have to completely take it away. Have some balance, but have them pick up a book. You know, have them to read a newspaper or watch CNN or newscast and have conversations. I'll do a book report. We have so many great Black inventors and leaders and achievers who died for us to have the social liberties that we have, and most of our young people don't have a clue
That's right.
about all of these great Black inventors and achievers. You know, the
That's
man who
right.
invented the potato chip, the iron board, the ice cream machine, the refrigerator, and it just goes on and on and on. Imagine if our children knew that. They really understood and they took pride in,
And
how they would
took
walk
pride.
around with a sense of accomplishment and achievement. And they would,
Yes.
and their behavior would reflect that. But when you don't know anything, all the only thing you do know is Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto and these kind of things, then your behavior is going to reflect that. It's going to coincide
Right.
with it.
Right. And there, I want to ask about the fine line of, like I have tempered myself from watching the news because it's just stressful. It adds stress in my life. I can feel my blood pressure rising sometimes. And so there's a fine line. I want to ask you about that. Like, how do you balance not adding more stress to our lives, but also needing to know what's going on in the world and knowing our education, knowing our history?
I think mentoring matters, and I think surrounding yourself with positive people who can serve
Yes.
as a springboard for learning, understanding, wisdom, education, personal
Yes.
direction, all of that is essential. If you get all your information on the news, can be very depressing. You really can. And then the news reinforce negative stereotypes as well. So I too had to back away from watching the news so much. But when you
Yes.
have a positive support group, when you have a mentor, when you have people that you can reach out to for guidance, direction, and support, it's essential. It makes a difference. It
Absolutely.
helps you to stay sharp. It helps your mind to be reflective and open to the possibility. So we are, and regardless of age and who we are and what our stations are in life, I just think that's imperative that we have those kind of support systems in place. So
That's
mentoring
right.
matters. It really does.
And it's mentoring and it's fellowship and it's finding safe spaces, where we can come together like this and like the all the work you do. So I love, and someone just said, yes, healthy boundaries and self-care, excellent conversation. So I love this. I want to leave you with the last words. If there were two or three pieces of advice for all of us here this morning that have young people, whether they're in their teens or whether they're grown men or women, what are those two or three things? I know you gave us the 10 and we can get those from you, from your site, your website, and all your other places. But leave us with two or three big tips for today and forever.
Okay. Well, number one would be mental health matters. And it
Yes.
doesn't matter what station you are in life. You can be having relationship issues. You can be having job related stress. You can be dealing with a blended family where you bring two families together. You could be dealing with economic strife. So I'm happy to know that the Black community is open to mental health like never before. It seems like
Absolutely.
we're moving past the stigma associated with mental health.
Yes.
Because if you're breathing, if you have breath in your body, you're dealing with some kind of issue. Let me tell you might be in denial about it. You might be delusional about it. But if you are breathing, you're dealing with some kind of issue. Okay, that's number one. So mental health matters. Black fathers, I encourage you, I challenge you, step up, re-enter back into your child's life or your children's life because black fathers matter. It does. We talked about the number of men who go to prison who didn't have a father in their life. I want to say that all health begins with mental health. It really does. All health begins with mental health. And I'll close with this because I don't know how much time we have. The leader that you're looking for is right there inside of you. The leader that you're looking for is right there inside of you.
I love that. I
I thank
love
you so
that.
much for the opportunity. I pray that you will invite me back. There's so many other
Absolutely, please.
points that I would like to share. And I pray that
We
God
would
has blessed me to say something that has inspired others.
you've said so much that has inspired all of us this morning. Thank you for being here. We would love to have you back. Because we touched on so many things, and I know you have such a wealth of knowledge to share. And we shared the phone number because I'm sure people will be blowing up your phone. And I'll just restate that 314-249-1061 is Brother Ajuma Muhammad. And we absolutely appreciate you being here with us this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm going to
Thank you,
turn over.
Kelly, and I want to say thank you to Dr. Sapp as well. And it has been a pleasure
Absolutely.
and a wonderful
Absolutely.
opportunity to serve.
Thank you. Thank you. And after Vicky, will close us out with a prayer as she does every Sunday morning. So, Dr. Vicky, take it away.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Dr. D. Brother Ajuma, assalamu alaikum to you, and just thank you for all that you poured into us this morning. God, we just thank you for this gathering, the Sunrise Project. Thank you for our guest this morning, Brother Ajuma, and his wisdom, for you instruct us in all of our getting to get understanding. So thank you for redirecting us to our boys and our men. Thank you for restoring and renewing our hope, because hope deferred makes the heart sick. So thank you that there is hope. Thank you that there are workers in the vineyard. There are men and women on the front line to help us to restore our pride, our self-worth, our dignity. We just thank you for guidance today. Thank you that this conversation, this podcast, this session, God, that it will go around the world, that the right mother, the right father, the right son will hear what was shared and poured today. Thank you for the wisdom and the gifts that you continue to bring to us each week. Now, bless us as we go further into this day. Bless us to apply and implement and execute the steps, the strategies, the tools that have been shared here today. Thank you for making us better people, better parents, and together a better community. We bless you, we honor you, and it is our intention to manifest you in the earth wherever we go. Help us to remember that the leader we're looking for is inside each of us, and help us to show up and shine the light that you have assigned to each of us in our spheres of influence. We bless you, we honor you, and we praise you. In your name, amen. See you next week, everyone.
Amen.
Thank
Thank
you.
you so
Thank you.
much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.